Hello, everyone. This is Kevin Simpson, founder of ALOC, or the Association of International Educators and Leaders of Color. We are back with another oral history sharing from Dominique Dalle. We're going to hear and learn more about this MYP leader with the Middle Years Program, as well as head of department. So welcome, Dominique.
Hi, Kevin. Thank you for inviting me today. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Definitely, and thank you. So part of this is collecting stories so that we know and we hear from folks of color who've been working, serving, leading all over the world. So Dominique has a story. We want to hear, we want to listen, we want to learn. We're going to turn it right on over to Dominique. You can introduce yourself, Dominique, and you can hop right on here and share your story.
So my name is Dominique Dalle. Both my parents are from a small island 300 miles off the coast of Africa called Mauritius. And they moved to the UK just before Mauritius became independent. So they have been British citizens effectively for their whole life. And they actually will find it very difficult to get a Mauritian passport. And so they've always had British passports. And so I'm British, but I am Mauritian as well. And my parents have continued to live in the UK for their whole lives. Unfortunately, my father passed away earlier this year. And I recently just had the opportunity to bring my mum and my brother up to London, and on Sunday we went to a Mauritian festival, which was really cool. And the festival involved lots of music and food, and one of my favorite foods is dal puri, and it was really good to queue up for 2 hours to get my dal puri from the festival, but I really look forward to that and listening to some traditional music, which is called Segar music in Mauritius. So my parents moved over to the UK to become professional nurses, and I grew up and was in the UK. I was born there. I have 4 siblings. I have an older sister, 2 younger sisters, and a younger brother. So we're quite a large family. And they're all teachers apart from my brother. And so we've got a big family of teachers. My wife's a teacher. My 2 younger sisters' husbands are teachers as well. And so I can't remember where that came from. I know I was one of the first people to sort of decide to go into teaching, and I think everybody followed me. I went to university in the UK, specifically in North Wales, where I had a lot of experience in North Wales with actual Welsh nationalists, because Wales is a principality of the UK, and North Wales in particular have a lot of nationalists. Now, the North Walians, from my experience, don't like the English as much, but they didn't mind me because I was a person of colour. And I actually went out with a nationalist, which is quite interesting, going to a couple of rallies as well. From university, I then stayed in the UK for a few years to sort of embed my teaching as an elementary teacher. And that's where I got into coordinating physical education and doing a little bit more of sport. I then moved to Paris for my first international school. And after only 3 weeks, I met my wife. We didn't get married then, but obviously, that was quite quick. And within a couple of years, after teaching in Paris, we decided to move to the UK to get married and for me to start my master's degree in sport and culture. And so we stayed in the UK then for 3 years. During that time, our son was born. So he's British again. But my wife's background is Polish. So we have that mixture, and we're quite proud of the differences that we have in our family. We then stayed in the UK, as I said, for 3 years. We decided that we needed to go back abroad again because it was too expensive to live here. And so we went to China, and we already had experience in the IB program in Paris. In China, we wanted to continue that experience. And that's my first experience with the MYP back in 2004. And I taught, it was called physical education at the time. It changed to physical and health education. And that's where I started to really explore the program a lot more and have our first experience in Asia. And during that time, my daughter was born in Beijing, and we lived there for 4 years. And so we had our first Asian experience during that time. It was very, very different. One of the biggest memories and things which you need to remember when going abroad is really check out how to move your stuff, whatever it is, furniture, clothes, whatever, from one country to another. What we decided to do was turn up at the airport with our suitcases as normal. But then we had 24 boxes, which we turned up with our suitcases to the check-in desk. And rather than shipping the boxes, we thought we could just put them on the plane. And the looks on the faces of the people giving us the tickets were, you know, something we'll never forget. We paid a lot of money. We had two credit cards at the time, I think it was, and yeah, we maximized. So really think ahead of time when you're moving abroad. That was our first experience really going. And yeah, something we had to pay off for some time. Living in China was very, very different. We had a great opportunities to travel to various parts of Asia. My son, when we moved out there, he was just over a year old, and he became fluent in Mandarin. We had an IE, a nanny. He was just like a native speaker, as my IE called it. And he would translate for us, which was excellent wherever we went. My daughter also learned Mandarin as well whilst we were there. And our IE was just part of our family. And it was a big loss when we sort of left the country. We then moved to Switzerland. And so we went back to Europe. Both our fathers had had some health issues at the time. So we wanted to be a bit closer and so forth. And we always had this dream of moving to Switzerland. We tried before, we couldn't get in. This time we managed to get into quite a good school. And we stayed there for 6 years. And so Switzerland, a lot of time I think of it as my home. We still have a house there. This morning I was just sorting out some bills for our house and so forth. We haven't been for a couple of years, obviously, because of the current situation, but we're hoping to go this winter because one of the things we really enjoyed there, and I pushed for both my kids to try to learn, was skiing, and that's a really sort of big thing in our family. So Switzerland was a really interesting country. We did find that there was a lot of nationalism in the country at the time. But if you go to that country, you have to try to not become Swiss, but you have to try to accept their ways. And at first it was a bit of a struggle. But eventually you came to appreciate certain ways that the Swiss people expected. And Switzerland's a very safe country, very mixed, especially around the towns around the border of Switzerland. We lived in Basel, And we had a 5-10 minute drive to France or Germany. So we would go into those two countries often. And Switzerland is such a small country that we could go over to Austria and Italy as well quite easily. Another thing Switzerland does have is, I think it's now over 40 international schools. And so there's a lot of opportunity there. So we're always looking at Switzerland for a return there one day when it's the right sort of situation. We then left Switzerland because we were looking for further opportunities. My wife wanted to move into a coordinating curriculum, and I was just following that at the time. And we found an opportunity in South Korea, which we then moved to in 2014, I think it was. We stayed in Switzerland for 6 years. I may have mentioned that already. So we moved to a fairly new school in South Korea. And this school had a lot of opportunities for us. I continued with my MYP. I was teaching MYP and PYP in Switzerland. But the school in South Korea sort of pushed us on to another level, gave us a lot of opportunities, especially my wife and myself. And I had an MYP coordinator who really encouraged me to do more, become a workshop leader. I had already been running some mini PE workshops at PE conferences. And so I was still doing that. She encouraged me then to, I started a Facebook group because on PHE, because the curriculum had just changed and there was a lot of people asking questions. And so she said, start Facebook groups, try and collaborate with other people, become a workshop leader. She then encouraged me to create a website for that group. So I did that as well. So that really built up. And I think over the years now, there's about nearly 3,500 people on that group. And there probably could be more. I think I started to limit it and really focus on some of the concerns that people have with that curriculum. And I think that's really sort of helped putting myself out there because I didn't so much because I was unsure. But once I started to expose myself a bit more, yes, there was some criticism. But I think if I showed that I could help people, because that was my main thing, just to help people and have discussions. I had some experience. I wanted to share. I was a workshop leader. I knew the ins and outs and some of what was happening. So I really wanted to do that. And then we left South Korea and we came to the UK. And part of that reason was for my son to go to university here in the UK, but he decided not to. And so... threw our plans out of what we thought was going to happen. And he's decided to go to the US. And so we moved to an international school here, just outside of London. And I'm still teaching MYP, but I thought last year I was part-time. and I decided during that time I wanted to do a little bit more. Someone reached out to me to write a book. An education book. So I decided to do that. I'm still writing it nearly 2 years later. I was also asked to become a reviewer as well. And so these opportunities, I think, came about because I'd started putting myself out there a little bit more. And I also last year during the BLM movement decided to start a Facebook group, which was called International Teachers of Colour. And I wanted to really sort of connect with everybody. And at the time I didn't know about ALOC. And then very soon after I found out, and I thought, oh, lots of people doing this. And so that really encouraged me to continue. I thought, am I doing the right thing? Am I going to, get criticized by people, people are gonna start, you know. So I was trying to be quite careful on who I invited. I wanted to invite a lot of people. It didn't have to be just people of color. I wanted people from organizations, white folk to come in on board, whoever was wanted to sort of help. And so that started. I also started to do a lot of work within our school. We set up a DEI council. I spearheaded that, and a lot of it, I suppose I was pushing people, but what sort of happened was a lot of the time the heads of school or the HR manager or the CEO came to me, Dom, what should we do? Dom, what should we do? I did feel a lot of pressure. And it sort of, back in November, hit a point where I was feeling super under pressure. And I thought, oh my God, what am I doing here? This is so much that I'm taking on. And I had to see a counselor to try and, you know, just reflect. And that helped, because I realized I need to sort of focus on certain things and try to delegate. And so we tried to get a lot more people involved, make some networks and so forth. In the meantime, I was continuing to sort of reach out with people outside of the school and connect with people, find out what people were doing, find out, you know, with ALOC and Search Associates and ISS and so forth. And then I thought, what are people doing in their school as well with regards to DEI? And that's when I sort of started this podcast, because I thought, I want to learn from people. I'm not an expert. I'm enthusiastic and interested. And so I really wanted to learn. And so I started this podcast to learn from people and also to share, so that other people can see what others are doing. And I wanted to really highlight to whoever I can connect with that we can do this work. It is possible. And we need to keep being proactive and positive about everything that we do. So I think it's had an effect, and I think it's been helpful. It's been really helpful for me to understand lots of different perspectives and what lots of different types of schools are doing. And now I'm sort of moving on to a second lot of podcasts where I'm going to try and focus on organizations. And I spoke to you recently, Kevin. So, and I really want to sort of find out more and just spread the word, because I believe, or strongly believe, that now is the time, and we will be making change as long as we keep going. It's got to be sustainable. We've got to keep going and keep, you know, acting on this and connecting with people like you, Kevin, and having my head teacher as well, really supporting me, encourages me to sort of keep going and keep doing this work and keep believing I can do more things with the IB and also, you know, with the work I'm doing with DEI as well. And so that's my story. There's a lot more to fill in, but I could talk forever probably, couldn't I?
Well, awesome, Dominique. And you left, you dropped so many jewels. And what we try to do at the end is sort of like pick out some that were big and standing out, but three that stood out for me. Number one was that when you talked about you and your wife embarking upon a new school where they stretched you. So one lesson is definitely go where you can grow, you know, and I would definitely, for folks who are entering into the field, ask those types of questions, you know, when you're interviewing, what type of learning opportunities are there beyond where I'm at, and sharing what it is you aspire to do, whether it's curriculum coordinator, administrator, things of that nature. And then two, you also talked about a big one, put yourself out there. I think so many times people have that fear. We were talking before about imposter syndrome. People feel like, should I do this? Am I the right one? If it's not you, then who else? You know, who's going to do it? So it was putting, you know, on your heart or your soul, your spirit to do it, then put yourself out there. And there's definitely, like you were saying, there's going to be a community of others who are going to embrace you. Criticism is going to be there. People are always going to have something to say or question to ask. But again, put yourself out there. And a big jewel, big one that stood out was be devoted to your learning. You know, you talked about setting up international teachers of color. setting up the podcast, being devoted to not only what you can learn, but how can you share that out with others so they are in a constant state of learning as we look to sustain this work. Thanks again, Dominique, for joining us, for sharing your story. Again, for more information on ALOC, or the Association of International Educators and Leaders of Color, we invite you to visit us at www.aieloc.org. Thanks, Dom.